Hello, everyone. I am James Dean Mixes from the Mixing Music Podcast, member exclusive episodes, where every week DK and I break down the technical side of mixing, mastering, and music production. With the normal weekly episodes, you get to hear DK and Lou talk about the more philosophical side of the music industry. On the member exclusive episodes, DK and I get more into the nitty-gritty technical side of things. We sometimes do mix breakdowns, we break down technical tips, and sometimes we share things that couldn't be shared on the normal public episodes. And we release two of these episodes every week. So for $3.99 a month, you get quite the bang for your buck. So go check out the mixingmusicpodcast.com or click on the link in the description to subscribe now. So without further ado, here's an episode from the vault. Hello and welcome to the Mixing Music Podcast. I'm your host, James Dean Mixes, and with me here today is lovely DK Mixes. DK, how is your body feeling?
I feel good, actually. Surprisingly good. I do feel like, the context is I'm training to run a 100-mile ultramarathon that's in 3 weeks, actually. Like 2 weeks, 2.5 weeks. Yep. It's kind of scary, yeah. Actually. I didn't realize it was that close. I kind of forgot. So part of my training was to... So I ran the LA Marathon on Sunday, which was 2 days ago, because mm-hmm. It's Tuesday right now. Yeah, I ran the LA Marathon and then beat my old LA Marathon record. So I kind of did like a personal best. So like I ran it kind of hard.
Nice.
And then the next day I did another marathon back to back. So I ran like 53 miles in 2 days. And I'm significantly less sore now than I was the first time I ran a marathon, like mm-hmm. the next day after just a single marathon. So I'm in great shape, actually, and I'm injury-free, which is the most important part.
Nice. He's got it.
I think I've got it, dude. I feel pretty confident going into this, actually, if anything. So apparently you're supposed to do this back-to-back marathon because you're supposed to simulate what it feels like to be running on dead legs.
Yeah.
And it was, yeah, dude. Once you're warmed up, like once you kind of like run for like a couple minutes and you're like warmed up a little bit, it's not as bad. But like, yeah, if you like stop to eat, stop to take, go to the bathroom or something and then like start running again. Holy shit, dude. It fucking sucks.
If you eat fettuccine, like in The Office, have you seen The Office?
Yeah, but what are you, I don't remember what.
They do the Office marathon or whatever for rabies. And like Michael like has a secret. He like orders like fettuccine before the race, and he's like, his stomach's just dying the whole time. It's just like has the shit. That reminded me. I'm starting to. So we're going to Switzerland in like 4 months.
For fun? Do you have family there? What's going on?
Well, Ashley used to
just
live there.
Just for the chocolate? Oh,
yeah. Ashley. So Ashley's dad is from Holland.
Okay.
And so yeah,
like immigrant.
Like, yeah.
Oh,
does that make
really?
You like him less or something?
Yeah, significantly less. No, I mean, it's interesting because, like, it's interesting because, yeah, no, like, immigrants from Northeastern Europe, I feel like, are significantly more rare.
No, yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah, no, yeah, it's cool. They always bring good chocolate. So for Ashley's mom's birthday, it's her 50th. So she's going there, and we're going for the second half of the trip. And she's, like, doing this for 50. She's hiking 50 miles in the Netherlands.
Heck yeah.
And so I'm going to have to do a lot
over
of
the
that.
Course of a week?
I think she's going to be
days?
There for a few weeks.
Okay, cool.
So we're going to do other things there too. So I've
like,
been...
It's less of a challenge and more for like enjoyment long term.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Sweet. She just likes hiking.
Hell
and
yeah.
So
that's
I'm,
awesome.
I'm going to be doing a little bit of it with them too. And so nice. I've been... My knee's feeling better. So I've been kind of somewhat training for that at the gym because I want to be able to enjoy it and not just be super out of breath.
Yeah. Good for you, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's been a lot of studies within the last decade that's come out that shows running is, I don't know why, we've talked about this, like the wives' tale is running is bad on your joints.
Mm-hmm.
It's actually the opposite, completely. Like the data, the empirical data shows that not running is actually hurting your joints more than running.
Really?
Yeah.
I thought it was just, is it true? Isn't it just like... it's either running on the treadmill or like street running is worse on your joint, or is it the same either way?
There is more impact running on the street
uh-huh.
because there is less cushion like dirt or grass mm-hmm. or even a treadmill, but it is still significantly better on your joints than to not run.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. So like there's tons of studies. For some reason, there's this thing. It's like, I don't run because I already have bad knees. And it's like, actually, the truth is not running is making your knees worse.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because it's that impact. So what happens is, this is personal experience. Now, I'm not a scientist, and this is just from what I'm thinking, reading the reports. Like everybody that starts running, like especially like long distances at the beginning, kind of goes through this inflammation stage where, mm-hmm. because of that constant repeated impact to the joints, like the muscles and the like kind of get inflamed.
Mm-hmm.
So there's like knee pain and like ankle pain and stuff. And it's like, that's because most people have been on their asses their entire life.
Yeah.
And so it's like, yeah, when you start running from not doing anything, your joints are going to be freaked out. They're going to be like, what the fuck is going on? We're not trained for this.
Yeah.
Trying to keep their shit together. So they get inflamed. But if you can heal from that, get over that, that's like them also getting stronger.
Oh, cool.
So yeah, I most people don't run long-term because they kind of get scared and like, oh, my knees hurt. And that's because, yeah, the lack of training. So if you kind of like heal, get better, that's like...
Yeah, it's like lifting weights. Yeah, you'll hurt at first, but then...
Yeah, and usually a lot of injuries in these, a lot of things come from like weakness in the hips.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not just like running form, but like doing squats and like going to the gym and working out your butts.
Yeah.
And your hips actually prevents injuries as well.
That actually helps a lot of lower back issues too.
Yeah, hell yeah.
Those muscles. So yeah.
Hell yeah.
Go run.
did you mean that, dude?
I don't know. I was like,
are you running recently?
No, that's what I said. I am. It's because my meniscus, that whole sandboarding thing, I keep on pushing it. And so
the sandboarding thing?
When I hurt myself sandboarding and then you kept on
sandboarding.
Anyways, I would think I'm okay and then I would do something and like push it. And then like, I would be hurt
for a month.
Yeah,
that is actually trauma to the knees.
Yeah, no, it's like actual. So I'm taking it, especially...
Not sandboarding. It was, what was it? That was...
Skimboarding.
Skimboarding. There it is.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I forgot. Yeah. I call it sandboarding for some reason. But yeah.
Yeah, I forgot about that. And I stared at you and I was like, I thought you were just like watching me skimboard.
No,
little did I realize that you were actually injured.
I silently suffered is what I did.
I had no clue.
I did the same thing when I broke both my feet cliff jumping and like no one...
How did you break your feet cliff jumping?
We did it in
Did you land
water.
On the rock? Oh,
But like I've done it before. So I've done the same cliff. You like curve. Oh, sorry. You curve when you hit the water. And like usually I do it okay. But for some reason that time it just like. And I shattered, but like my feet were like all like fractured and stuff. But yeah.
Good thing it was just your feet and not like up to your.
No, yeah.
Your other bones.
Yeah, no, I got lucky. Anyways, speaking of broken feet, we have another subject for today.
Sorry, that was like a long rant.
Yeah, that was long. So to give some pretext, I was thinking of using this clip, but it doesn't really translate well for the audio listener, so I'll just kind of describe it, and then we'll talk about the subject. But pretty much it's Dress Jure was doing a mix, and the person he was doing the mix for was there, and he mentioned that, hey, for this chorus part, I'm hitting a lower note that's kind of harder for me to hit, so I wasn't able to give it as much excitement when recording it as I can for the rest of it. Can you make sure to do something to add more excitement to it to make it still feel as energetic as the rest of the song? And so Jesse went in, he did a few things. He compressed it more for that particular note because it gets held out for a bit, and he added some distortion, and he added like a little bit of a delay to kind of add some more excitement to it. So I thought, because of that, and I'm having to do something similar in this person whose album I'm mixing, to add some excitement. For the most, the performance is great, but there are some moments where I feel like the performance isn't as exciting as the rest of the song. So I've been having to add some things to make it more exciting too. So I thought this would be an interesting subject for today. But yeah, I'd like to, I guess we'll start with you and then I could share some of the things I do. DK, what are some things you do to add, I guess, some more excitement to vocals?
Well, I think the thing we should talk about first is what I was telling you off mic before mm-hmm. we started recording is the importance of catching the right emotions in the production recording stage. This is like a last case scenario. This is one of those, we'll fix it in the mix kind of things where there's only so much that you can do. You mentioned Jesse using compression, some delays, some distortion, but like a lot of times even that won't work.
Yeah.
You know, this is a very common, like a couple really common scenarios in my recording days is drummer plays too loud for a song that doesn't need loud drums or plays too aggressively. No matter how much I turn down the drums, they sound aggressive. Yeah. Or the opposite. The singer is supposed to be singing this powerful pop song, but sings like a fucking bitch, like a wet rag, dude. And like, because like, this is their first time recording and they, for whatever reason. So it's like, they don't have the confidence to yell into the mic like they yell on a stage.
Yeah.
So then their recording and their live show sounds totally different because they're not able to execute that live energy in the studio, right? These are real problems that can directly affect the energy of a recording, and most of these things are unfixable.
Yeah,
like with the Jesse example, it's like it's one note for the rest of the song.
Word.
The rest of the song was a good job. This one was tough. Sure, like it's probably a weak part of the song, but it's not going to kill the song. But if you're playing drums way too loud the entire time, or if you're not singing with enough energy, or you have a trumpet solo but you play it like a little bitch, that's not gonna, no EQ, no compression can make it sound more energetic. Like energy is not something that, like, in that sense, you can't really change with the mix. So there's a big warning label I'm going to put on any advice
that's a good way to preface it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. These are all, at least the situations I'll talk about too, are like very much, it's like that with like 95%, 99% of the song, the vocals have energy. It's just like that little section that it's lacking.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. There was one song where the drummer was like a jazz dude. And this is, by the way, this is rare in itself, but the drummer played like a rock song and wasn't playing loud enough, energetically enough. No matter how much I compress the drums, no matter how loud I make the drums, it still sounds like he's playing like a jazzer. You know what I'm saying?
Mm.
So I've had a situation where a jazz dude, a different situation, it's a lot of drum stuff. I don't know why, but this goes across the board for anything, even guitar players, vocalists, violin players, horns, et cetera, et cetera. I've had a drummer where they played aggressively. Mm-hmm. Everything was right, but it was like recorded on one of those like 14 or 16 inch kick drums, like the jazz kits.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the low end didn't feel right. I had to use like trigger.
Yeah.
You know, things like that. And I will say, so like there's been a lot of experimentation. And I think the biggest takeaway from all of this is make sure you pre-plan the energy before, the vibe before, and that you record accordingly. And it does take, if you are a performer in front of the mic, it does take a bit of practice to, if you cannot make the records feel the same as the live show, it's because you're not recording with the same energy.
Yeah.
So Eve, if you need to bring in hype people to pretend like you're an audience so you can kind of get that out of you, if you need to turn down the vocals and in your own microphone so you actually have to yell to hear yourself, because that's what it takes.
Do push-ups.
If you need to do, if you need to fucking take some cocaine. No, don't do that. But
if you need Adderall.
Yeah. What?
Daddy D said it's okay.
No.
You could DM him for some.
Oh my gosh. I've actually been off Adderall for a long time.
Oh yeah.
Which is very apparent in the podcast. yeah, dude, that is the big warning label that we put on this. Okay, so now that we've gotten that out of the way, we've done episodes where we talk about like the five main things to add energy in general. So I'm gonna break it down for that. This is like a list of things that me and Lou came up with.
Yeah.
Number one is width. So if you're in the mixing post-production stage, so if you go from like, for example, if you double track guitars, this is a very cool thing. I say in the chorus or in the verses, leave that, only use one of those guitars.
Yeah.
Right? Nice distorted guitar, leave it mono, and in the chorus, make it wide. That change of width will add so much more energy and excitement, okay? Yeah. And this is for vocals too. Like maybe they could have double tracked that one vocal.
Yeah.
And that could have, it made it, felt a little bit different. I don't think it would have fit in that Jesse example, but that's like an idea that you could do. make it wider. Another thing is top end and low end. So frequency spectrum is another thing too. You, when you switch cymbals, for example, and you have a lot more top end in the drums, it feels more energy. When you wash with the ride during the chorus versus like using hits on the closed hi-hat during the verse, that's going to feel more energetic. And on top of the EQ stuff, right? Like making things brighter. Oftentimes I will, like if I duplicate a kick drum and I use one more for the sub frequencies, or like I use one for a trigger to add more sub frequencies or to add more top end, whichever.
Yeah.
It's not weird for me to either automate the volume down or to mute the extra layer of kick during the verse and only use it during the chorus. Just in general, so even with the idea of like turning down the bass during the verse and then turning them back up to what it was for the chorus,
yeah,
more low end and top end also equates to energy. General compression can equate to energy, hence the Jesse thing.
Yeah.
Having a very thick section or a very, very compressed single track can make it feel like a little bit more energy.
Yeah.
But these are compared to just singing with more energy. It's very minimal compared to that. It's not that drastic a change, but it can be changed. What else? So those are, I said width, space. Oh, contrast in reverb. Oh, this is alongside width. So yeah, in the Jesse example, he used delays.
Yeah.
But going, using dry as a technique and to build contrast for like a wet chorus, it can make the chorus feel more energetic, feel more distance, feel like it's in a bigger arena, change of space.
Yeah.
That can equate to more energy. Or using dry can feel very intimate.
Yeah.
That's a good trick too. Like there's, yeah, like very dry vocals feels very intimate, which may be the vibe you're going for.
Yeah.
Let's see, what else do we usually say? I feel like I'm missing one thing. Oh, volume, just
volume.
In general.
Yeah,
turning things up.
Volume stuff.
There was an episode of Warren Hewitt, Produced Like a Pro. Warren would, and this isn't something that I do, and I don't necessarily recommend this, but conceptually, I think it'll get the point across. It's like he turns up the mix bus. So he has a mix bus, aux track in Pro Tools, and then he has the master bus. And the mix bus feeds into the master bus.
Mm-hmm.
His limiter is in the master fader.
Okay.
And there's reasons why not to do this, but like that's besides the point right now.
Yeah.
And he automates the volume of the mix bus to turn up a dB during the chorus and then like go back to zero unity in the verses.
Interesting.
So it's like it hits that limiter slightly harder.
Yeah.
So like that's just a technique, but you could do that without doing that on the mix bus or on the master bus, right?
Yeah.
So yeah, just general automation volume.
Okay,
can
cool.
equate to energy as well.
Yeah. I like that.
Distortion.
Yeah,
yeah, those are lots of different ways to add energy.
Yeah, I have a few things. I'm curious what your thoughts are on these. Because I've been mixing a rock album, and I guess some of these things you could kind of only get away with in something like rock, because it's more of a dirty genre. But so for some of the things I would do to add excitement to the vocals, especially for let's see, this last two songs ago, it was like something in the pre-chorus, like the first little half of the pre-chorus, for some reason just wasn't hitting super hard. And I did a few things in parallel that I think kind of helped bring up the vocal and make it a little more exciting. I do this thing, especially in her album I did on most of the songs, is I'll do a parallel. So I'll do a send to a little altar boy, and it's turned an octave lower. And then I'll shift the format a little bit. And then I kind of like bring it up just barely enough.
Formant.
Yeah, formant shift. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then I would bring it up just barely enough. And that kind of helps, like that brought some energy into the vocal. And then.
So like a double track layer and with some lower.
Yeah.
A lower formant shifting. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's great. I love that.
Yeah, no, it works great. And then I actually, I do another send to another altar boy. And this one, I actually just formant shifted up a little bit. And like do a little bit of a high shelf on it on an EQ to give some top end. And it's like the same thing. I just kind of lightly blended up. I usually do a send to this plugin called Greenhass. It's pretty much like a slapback ping pong delay with distortion on it. And that adds some width to it. And then it's just like this simple parallel compression box.
Yeah.
Send. But yeah.
Yes.
I found that those things kind of just like little parallel distortions that, like, if you put it on the lead vocal, it would make it muffle too much. But if you kind of have it sitting underneath, I found that those kind of, and I'll like automate those, excuse me, to go up or down, like depending on what part of the song.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what I've done. And she's really liked it. Like, she's given really good responses to those mixes so far.
Two notes that I want to be explicit about on the podcast. You, with this artist, she has given you a little bit more free range with creative.
Yes. Right? On this last mix. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Sweet. With Jesse's song, was there context of the producer artist asked him to add more energy to that section, or was it something that he did without telling
you? Oh, he specifically asked. He said, hey, this part needs more energy. Okay. Yeah.
Sweet. Yeah, that's also important to note too, because yeah.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Again, like a lot of people listening to this podcast, they themselves are producers.
Yeah.
Learning how to mix.
Yeah.
If that is you, you are the one to decide. But if you are just a mixer, where the producer and the recording engineer, the label or whatever, is hiring you,
yeah,
the role of your job changes significantly.
Yeah.
And so I want to be clear on that. Like, that's not, no matter how shitty of a take it was, typically, like, adding more energy and making it drastic, like having big drastic changes is yeah. not something you want to be doing if you are just the mix engineer.
Yeah.
But unless they have specifically given you creative,
yeah,
creative, you know, like creative permission, or if you are the producer yourself.
Yeah. I will say though, these parallel things I do, they are, it's not like a super noticeable, you could hear the lower octave, but it's one of those things that just kind of adds that, like, it's just, if you turn it off or off, you could feel a difference in energy.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's not like a huge noticeable thing that, like, someone will be like, oh, why did you add in like that? Warren Hewitt, back to Warren Hewitt, actually, he does like a ton of parallels with his lead vocal to add energy. He'll like, he does like the lower octave thing, and then he'll like do like this weird copying the track a bunch and spreading them out like all the way left and right and slightly delaying them. And he does like a whisper send where he like puts in some plugin that like makes it sound like it's whispering on there. But yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, whatever. He's also, I'm going to keep that thought to myself. Fuck it. I'm self-censoring here. Yeah, produced like a pro. Did you know he had just started his channel? Like, just barely started his channel when I got Pro Tools for the first time.
Really?
Yeah, it was about... Oh, so snap. I haven't... People don't realize, like, I'm young and I haven't been using Pro Tools for that long. I've never used tape. Like, I think I got... My first version of Pro Tools was, like, Pro Tools 12.
Yeah.
It wasn't even 11. Pro Tools 12 was my first version of Pro Tools. And I had to watch a lot of videos on how to use Pro Tools. And Warren Hewitt had just started his channel, and his first, one of his first videos, that set of videos that he made was how to use Pro Tools. Like, general basic setting up a session.
Yeah.
Shortcuts and stuff like that.
Nice.
So as much as we tease him or anything, any sort of influencer, I will have to give him proper credit for putting up basic Pro Tools how-tos.
Yeah.
And it's helped me build my career.
Oh, yeah. He was very helpful for me, too, when I started out learning how to mix and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyways, yeah.
That being said, like, there's new techniques being, you know, people trying things out every single day. There's the idea of, like, there's no right answer to. So, like, if you want to try different things.
Yeah.
I like generalize. If we're going to generalize, I like the idea of, like, dynamics, harmonics with volume. Or just, that's dynamics, too.
Yeah.
What else did I say? Compression, which is dynamics.
Yeah.
Just general categories, and you understand. Effects.
Yeah.
Sends.
Experimenting.
Yeah, trying different things. Arrangement is huge. I could argue, we should do an episode where I argue, I think arrangement is more important than mixing.
Oh, yeah. I think most people would agree with that, honestly.
No, they don't, actually.
Really?
Yeah, which is really funny.
Interesting.
I think among mixers, probably, there's going to be more people that agree. Among producers, they still think mixing is more important than arranging for some reason.
I guess that keeps our job in need. Yeah,
yeah, no, I'm not going to complain. I'm not fucking complaining. That's great. But, because I did, like, a little poll on it one time on my social media.
Really?
Yeah. It could just be that my followers are less experienced.
Possibly.
I have no idea.
Yeah. Did they all say that me? It's more important?
I don't remember. I have a feeling that, yeah, if I remember correctly, they're like, yeah, no, I disagree with you. I think producing is, or mixing is just as important than arranging. Or it's like equally important. I don't think it's equally important. I think arranging is more important than mixing.
No, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Like mixing. Yeah.
And that's me. That's coming from the dude that makes money from mixing. So,
yeah.
So, yeah, if I don't, if like, I'm losing money saying this potentially, you know?
Yeah. No, I agree with that. I think, yeah. Mixing, I think, is a very important part, but like, I don't even know how to say it. There are many songs that haven't been mixed that have gone viral because it was just really cool arrangement.
Or they're really catchy, good songwriting.
Yeah. So, yeah, no, I agree with you on that. We need to find someone and do a debate who thinks the other way.
Yeah, dude. Like, even I think producers change a lot. Dude, I showed you that TikTok, that Instagram song. I am 5'7".
I'm 5'7". But my wife
thinks I'm 5'9".
Go check it out. It's
stupid
fire.
Song, but it is so absurdly good.
Yeah.
And catchy. Yeah. Has no place being that catchy.
Yeah.
Anyway, I think that's enough for this episode. Yeah. What do you think? This episode kind of went longer.
Yeah. But yeah, like we always say, like, yeah, like nothing replaces a good recording, but feel free to experiment with little different things that could add energy to the voice. Be conscious of what the person hiring you is expecting, of course, with it. But yeah. That's all I could think of. Thank you for listening. Go check out themixingmusicpodcast.com and happy mixing. You got this.
There are so many amazing free plugins available for download right now to help you with your production and mixing. Go to mixingmusicpodcast.com/plugins to download and get access to a bunch of free and premium plugins on Plugin Boutique. Happy mixing, my friends, and enjoy the show.